strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage with DJ Humphries. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert.
Boy, what a good job at the point of attack right there.
DJ Humphries pumping his chest and his fist after the Cardinals move the sticks.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcast. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
The Red Sea is rising up!
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Marley Sports Grill at the Chandler Fashion Center.
Hey guys, where else would you rather be?
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get the popcorn ready. It's going to be a show.
Ron Wolfley.
It doesn't get any better than that.
And DJ Humphries.
I'm not trying to just get in the way. I'm trying to whoop you.
Unleash the fury!
Tell you what, we need to start with big props on the Big Red Rage because there is somebody on this stage who just helped pave the way for the Cardinals' most rushing yards since 2011. So let's go through the process of elimination.
Let's give a big round of applause.
Let's see here.
Paulie Pencilneck,
we're ruled out immediately.
Okay.
Wolf, even in your lead blocking prime, did you ever pave the way for 7 yards a carry on 38 rushes?
No.
Kay.
No, Paul. It was not me.
I guess that leaves us with DJ Humphries, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hey. I'm just one-fifth of that group, man. I'm just one-fifth of those guys.
Boy, how did that feel right there? A little bit of bloody knuckle football. Did it not feel that way?
Man, it felt really good, actually. Actually, it felt so good. I wish you were there, Wolf, actually.
Well, I was.
That was the only thing that would have made it better.
All right, great. I appreciate that, Hump. Yeah, I saw it, though. I absolutely love the fact that you guys used a lot of different personnel groups, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he used a tight end, as a matter of fact. 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide, 12 personnel as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had, think about this, Paulie, right here. Max Williams had over 40 snaps in this game, and so did Charles Clay.
I did not know that.
It was the biggest use of a tight end that we have seen thus far. It started in Seattle, and it kind of grew from that point on, and I just honestly think it's going to be a boon for the Cardinals going forward to use more personnel groups and run the ball with a little dark heart.
You know, this time a week ago, right here on the Big Red Rage, Wolf cited some of those trends, and you started smiling.
Yeah.
Did you know then what was coming on Sunday?
I did. I was trying not to spill the beans, you know. I didn't know to the magnitude as to what was going to go on, but I knew what the plan was, so I was really trying not to spill the beans because Wolf was really getting me excited. So.
You know, but you know what's cool about it as well? You handed the ball off to a running back, and they rushed for 173 yards. Now, stop and think about that. It's cool, the 266 yards rushing and everything, but running backs handing the ball off, you had running backs running the ball and running it well. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is a big difference right there. You can throw in Kyler Murray's 93 yards, right, and that's great. There's no doubt about that. But to be able to snap the ball, hand it off to a running back, and rip people in between the tackles, baby, it doesn't get any better than that.
At all.
A couple of the old linemen I talked to, they like the fact that's on film. Do you like that? That Atlanta's defense is looking at that game film and maybe has a new respect level for the Cardinals' O-line?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you got to think about it. This guy's like, you know, Mason, me, AQ, Pew. It's guys that's been in the building. So the last few years, we've been a part of the back end of that stick. You know, we've been the people that's on film that's like, man, this is not what you want the league to see. So for us to be able to put film out there that you know that guys can watch and is showing the effort and the personality and who we want to be as a group, we all about it.
Paulie, for a sideline reporter, that was a salient observation by you right there. Just talking about that. Putting that on film.
Yeah.
The way the way that will help an offense going into a game. By reputation, now all of a sudden, hey, listen, we can run the ball. Don't think we won't run the ball. We will run the ball. That actually goes into, now all of a sudden, Dan Quinn game planning to stop that, right? Oh, it has a big impact, no doubt. Now, can you do it back to back? We'll see.
And by the way, when it isn't the running backs, your quarterback just ran for the most yards by a quarterback in team history since 1958.
Wow.
That kid can play.
So turn your back on the Cardinals offense at your own risk if you're the Falcons defense on Sunday. In fact, speaking to the rushing attack, oh, we're bringing up another member of that three-headed rushing attack next on the Big Red Rage.
Kyler Murray in shotgun, flanked to his left by Edmonds. They bring Keyshawn Johnson in motion. They pitch it to Edmonds, running left. He's to the 35, near side 30, breaks a tackle, and he's gone! Out the gate at the 20, the 10, touchdown! 37-yard run by Chase Edmonds, and the Cardinals extend the lead.
He's earned it. I mean, his practice habits, what we've seen every time he's gotten in, we're better when, you know, he's on the field and David are on the field. And then we've been able to kind of develop more of a role for him, and that should continue.
Joe Cliff Kingsbury talking about the guy who cut off your block. In fact, we could do a dramatic reenactment if we wanted to of the longest run of the game for the Arizona Cardinals. In fact, there were 8 big play runs, Ron Wolfley, over 10 yards in that game. Think about it. There were 10 big play runs in the first 4 games combined.
Whoa.
8 in that single game at Cincinnati. The biggest run of them all. By the highlight you just heard, the guy who joins us now on the Big Red Rage with DJ Humphreys. How about it, everyone, for Chase Edmonds? Did you feel, Chase, actually, did you feel a little burst of air as he cut off you and then headed up the sideline? Could you sense peripherally that, boom, he's gone?
No, I was just trying to figure out a way to block the dude so that the refs wouldn't think that I was holding, blocking in the back or some other something that they can figure out a reason to throw a flag. So I'm just trying to make sure I threw a clean block, make sure they didn't throw a flag on us once again.
It's just the tip of the iceberg on your opinion on that matter. We'll get into that a little bit later. You know, Chase, how you feeling?
Feeling good. Feeling good. Excited to be on the show again.
I mean, 8 carries, 68 yards, over 8 yards a carry. What'd you like the most about that game and that win?
Offensive line play, man. You guys said it best, just how, you know, we had, what, you said 8 runs of 10 yards?
10 big play, 8 big play
eight,
runs,
yeah,
yes.
8 yards, yep. 8 runs of 10 or plus yards, man. I mean, in the NFL, that doesn't happen unless you're running through lanes or, you know, you're running through gaping holes. And, you know, the line did a great job, hell of a job of just dominating the line of scrimmage. And I think we kind of just, we found out what we want our identity to be, and that's really just a balanced attack. I feel like we're really a better football team, better offensive group. When we're running the ball, when it's easier for Kyler to drop back and, you know, he doesn't have to throw the ball 40 times a game, and it just keeps us at balance. It keeps our tempo up.
Chase, when did you know you were going to house that run? When did you feel like, you know what, this thing, we're going to the house?
Yeah, once I made number 30 miss the safety, you know, once I hit him with a dip and slip.
The guy that dove at your legs,
yeah, the guy that
right?
dove at my legs, yeah.
He looked like he didn't want anything of you.
Well, yeah, I mean,
did you get that feeling?
You watch certain guys on film, and you know who guys who bring the boom and guys who kind of just, you know, like, they're more of a coverage guys. And I felt like he was just more of a coverage guy. And so I just tried to dip and slip. You know, I knew he was going to try to attack my ankles. And you get back outside, you know, turn the corner.
Now, in terms of the blocks, DJ was out ahead.
Yep.
And then who else?
So DJ, was it Pugh?
Larry. Larry Fitzgerald.
DJ Pugh, and then Max sealed a backer, and Larry sealed a backer.
Larry and Max sealed.
Yeah. Down around. Yep.
You know, that is the one thing about Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, he'll do it all now. Yeah, he ain't got to worry about it.
I mean, you think about it right now. He despises the fact that you call him a blocking wide receiver.
Well, never say it. That in your nickname he despises. Those are the two things he doesn't like. Just don't bring it up. That's right.
He is the Hines Ward of the NFL in 2019.
Right,
he is the best blocking wide receiver in the league, bar none, and he hates that. There's no doubt. Which is all the more reason why you guys rip him in the locker room.
Oh, all the time. Yeah. All the time. All the time.
100%. I never let one slip by. Like a missed block for him, like if he loses on the block, never let it slide. Because as soon as I miss something, Larry is the first person to say something to me. Like, I can't believe you let him beat you. DJ, come on. I can't believe you let him beat you. So soon as I see one on film, I'm like, oh, I can't wait. I see him after this meeting. I got to get one on. I got to let him know.
Well, Larry was asked what he likes about Chase Edmonds earlier this week.
Every time Chase touches the ball, he's dynamic. He has a great understanding of when to jam it in there and get 2 yards and when he can make somebody miss an open field and make something explosive. So that usually takes a little bit more time to develop that, but he already has it just in the second year. So, I mean, anytime he touches the ball is good for us.
I mean, is that a conscious decision when you're, okay, wait a minute, I'm just going to take what's here, or I'm, you know, and this one needs some second effort, I'm sensing more? Is that just years of experience? Where does that come from?
I think it's just a multitude of things. You know, you look at the down and distance. That's really the first thing that I look at as a running back, of when you need to fight for yards, or, you know, when you need to just get the first down first. So, like, if it's a third and one, and on some runs where I might try to bounce it and take a safety on, I'm probably cramming it, just because, you know, it's more important to keep the drive alive than it is to go for that big run. That's just in my opinion, though. And, you know, you find certain runs where, you know, or certain guys on film. Like, if I see it's a player who's kind of suspect with his tackling, I'm going to challenge him. But if it's more of a player who's for sure, I'm just going to take the open lane and cram it in for 4 yards, because those 4 yard runs, those 5 yard runs in the first half, they turn into 8, 9, 12, 15 in the second half. You just got to keep going with it.
Chase, I absolutely love watching you run the football, because you run the ball with desperation.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
I mean that. You run the ball with desperation. Where does that desperation come from?
I think it's just really it's more urgency, and just like, man, I play with a chip on my shoulder. You know, I've always been the underdog, undersized, you know, not the biggest guy at all. Didn't really have many offers coming out of high school. And then, you know, every time I step on that football field, I kind of just have that mentality of, you know, I got to show that I can play with the elite. And not only can I play with the elite, but I can make some plays while I'm at it. So that's just really that my mindset, my mentality.
Do you remember the first press conference you actually were at? I was talking to you about this before we actually hit the air, but do you remember when I asked that question? What makes you think you're going to be a good special teams
player? What did you say? I'm a football player.
He said, I'm a football player, Paul. That's exactly what he said. It was the best answer I think I've ever heard to that question about special teams. He said, I'm a football player. That's why I'm going to be successful. And you know what, Chase Edmonds? You are a football player.
No question.
You are. You do an excellent job in blitz pickup. That's something I know you take a lot of pride in, right?
I hate that, but yeah, you got to do it.
You got to do it. You got to stick your face in the fire, don't you?
Yeah.
And yet you do that. Do an excellent job coming out of the backfield. I mean, you're a multi-dimensional player. You can hold up in any offense.
I try to, man. You know, I remember coming in just really taking notes from Dave, man, of how versatile Dave was. And that was where I wanted to just get my game to. I just feel like it's the new running back of 2019. You look at the best running backs right now, like Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, man, you can do it all. That's how you thrive in the offense. Mm-hmm. That's how you just thrive in this league.
DJ, you nodded on the whole blitz pickup thing. How many times have you been part of a situation where the O-line maybe was blamed for a sack, and it might have been the running back, as Chase laughs over there?
Hey, man, let me tell you something about offensive line play. We only disclose certain things in the offensive line. When we step out of the offensive line room, we wear everything else, man. Chase hasn't missed a block all year.
Okay.
No, I'm just you know saying me, in none general, of those guys. You know, but that's what I'm saying. That's how we wear it.
Creep,
we wear that. Hey, if it went down like that, it was on us. No matter what the situation was, we're not going to talk about it.
Offensive linemen tell no tales.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, we're going to take it.
But
we might talk shit in the room, but we're going to take it.
when you guys go into your rant, though, about Pro Football Focus, right, and they don't know my assignment, I hear you guys say, well, how do they know that wasn't the tight ends guy or the running backs guy? I mean, there are different assignments. It's
always 100%.
All O-line.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Let that be the fact. But when we leave the building, the O-line will wear those. The O-line will wear all of them. But, yeah, I don't get me started on that again, please.
No,
please,
we're not going to get into that. We're not. And Wolf, don't ask him about the flags.
All right.
We don't want him to get fined. Right.
Okay.
I made it by so far, guys. So.
Yeah, he's made it through most of the week.
I've been pushing.
Two blocks in the back, right?
Oh.
Not that I'm counting,
fired up, man.
Not that I'm, yeah. Nobody's got.
But I do like your point that what happens if the guy turns his back to you and then you finish the block, what are you supposed to do? As I say it for DJ instead of himself,
man.
As we continue with the Big Red Rage, DJ Humphries, Chase Edmonds at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, presented by Santan Ford.
Great job. Listen, you can see what we can be, right? We clean everything up. Don't put any limits on what we can do moving forward. It's a great job finding a way to win. All right, we'll get it cleaned up and get better next week. Coming back home, we got to represent at home. All right, let me see a ball. Had a tough loss, right, this week for the Cardinals family. All right, so I knew we were going to get this one done for you and your family. Congratulations. It means the world to us.
Thank you all. You guys, this means a lot. I really do appreciate it. And, Coach, I've got one for you. Your first win. Dad always said. never easy. You did it on the road. Congratulations.
Thank you. Break. Let's get out of here. Let's go. Break it down, Mike. Break it down, Mike.
Let's just start a streak here. Let's go, Cardinals. Go, Cardinals. 3-2-1. Go, Cardinals.
There you go, taking you inside the Cardinals locker room. Of course, DJ Humphreys, Chase Edmonds were there front and center. It is the Big Red Rage presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford, and you heard the game ball given to Cliff Kingsbury, but first the head coach gave a game ball to Michael Bidwell, team president, on behalf of his father before the game. The memory of Bill Bidwell, Mr. B, honored there in Cincinnati. I mean, DJ, simply put, how gratifying was it to be able to win that game 4 days after the passing of Mr. B and then have the ability to hand that football over to Michael Bidwell?
Oh, man, that was a very special moment. I was glad I was able to be a part of that and maybe make sure we got that win. And we were at the funeral. Larry gave his eulogy, and he broke down the first win and the 3 points, and I was like, this is crazy. I don't know the history is as deep as Larry does, so for him to break it down and be able to speak it so well like he always does, I was mind blown by that.
And basically it goes like this. The team was purchased by Charles Bidwell, Mr. B's father, Michael's grandfather, in 1932. The first game, first win, 1933, was at Cincinnati.
Wow.
Just like this first game after the passing of Mr. B, and the margin of victory was exactly the same, 3 points.
3 points.
Think about that.
Crazy.
Truly incredible right there, right? How about this week? How has this week gone building off of that win?
I mean, Chase, the vibe, it's been different in the building, hasn't
it? Yeah. You know, a win always helps the energy of the building and just the energy of the players and coaches. And I think what we just need to do is just find ways, again, to harp on what we didn't do well. You know, it's always good to have a win, but you got to find ways to continue it, get a win streak going. And I think really right now, just our biggest concern, at least mine, is just the red zone. You know, because when you look at the stats, I think we're like top eight in red zone drives, just getting there. And then we kind of fall off because we're getting 3 points. You know, I mean, we have a hell of a kicker in Zane Gonzalez, which is good. But I don't want to see Zane Gonzalez out there for field goals. You know, I want to see him out there for extra points. But I think once we harp on that, man, you know, we'll be a dangerous offense and a dangerous team to stop.
Chase, do you pick at yourself? Because
always.
It's very,
oh, my
you
gosh.
Know, I mean,
yeah.
Honestly, you remind me so much of Walter Payton.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you right now, Walter Payton's attitude, okay?
Yeah.
Walter Payton's attitude was constantly, he didn't want to hear about the 150 yards rushing. He didn't want to hear about 3 touchdowns. He didn't want to hear any of that. As a matter of fact, when reporters asked him that, he said, yeah, did you see the blitz pickup I missed? Did you see the block that I missed? He was a guy that was driven by his failures.
Yeah, you got to.
Are you like that?
I just feel like, you know, I want to be the best, man. And I don't care how I get there. I got to get there, though. And, you know, like I left so many yards out in that game. I had a couple guys call me like, man, you had a hell of a game. I'm like, you know what? I had a run where, like, I made the safety miss, but then I lost my footing. And I was just mad about that because I felt like I could have broke it off for 15 more yards. And then I had an out route where I had the linebacker. I shoved him to the side. And then I don't know how I slipped, but I slipped.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because you cut on a dime.
Yeah, I slipped, and I was just mad about that. So, I mean, I'm always trying to make the most of my opportunities. I always say do more with less. You know, whether it's 3 touches or 5 touches or whatever touches I get a game, I just got to find ways to do more with it.
That's big time.
Yeah.
Were the cleats not in sync with the turf? What was going on?
It was. I'm not even going to say it was slick because that shouldn't even be an excuse for me. But I just feel like sometimes my feet get moving too fast, and before my mind is made up with what kind of cut I want to make. And like the first one, I really don't know how I lost footing on that backer. But the second one, I kind of cut off my inside foot a little because I was trying to get so north south so fast, and I just fell with it. But you know, it's something I'm just gonna work on, and you just gotta keep getting better with.
I mean, DJ Chase mentioned the red zone. My goodness, what if ...
Right.
Cardinals are a top 10 team in scoring drives, but 14 of those 22 scoring drives have been field goals in the bottom percentile in terms of touchdowns in the red zone. What if you can improve that? Just get it up to the average.
Yeah, I think, like you said, like Chase said, echoing off the same thing. If we could figure out ways to execute that part of our game, I think it's just another part of the process. Like, you know, that's something that we've learned that, you know, we can't make excuses and if this and if that. It's about us figuring out a way to get to that next step like we did with an offense, figuring out a way to get our offense started rolling. We just got to figure out our plan and stick to how we want to do things when we get in the red zone.
Does the win give you confidence, Hump?
Oh.
Does the win give you guys confidence? Why? Try to put that into words if you could, Frost.
For me, you know, you start off on the first two games. You have the Detroit game where, one, I didn't know Detroit was going to be that good. So kudos to Matt Patricia. He got them boys playing very well in the NFC North. So, you know, we go down there. We have a home game, and we end up with a tie. And that was just a boost just because, you know, like, wow, we show resiliency. We came back. What were we down, 24-6?
No, 18 points in the fourth.
In the fourth. We're down 24-6, I think, in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Come back to tie the game. And even in that game, though, we should have won the game. We had a couple plays in the red zone where we didn't execute. We missed out on it, and we couldn't get seven. And instead, we were kicking field goals. And then you come to Baltimore, and, like, I hate moral losses. But, I mean, Baltimore is going to be in the playoffs. They're a hell of a team. We go to Baltimore. We play extremely well. And I was like, wow, man, you know, like, we really competed with them boys. We can really do something. And then we had a bad loss to Carolina at the time.
Yep.
And then we kind of just bounced back, and, you know, we had a bad loss against Seattle. And this win for me is like, you know, it's just like, okay, we finally jump-started. It took us a while, but we finally jump-started this offense and this team. We put up 500 yards of offense, man. That's a hard thing to do in the NFL. So, I feel like this is a very winnable game for us. Obviously, Atlanta's offense is full of beasts. They got Julio Jones, one of the greatest receivers to ever play this game, with an MVP and Matt Ryan. But I feel like we like our matchups against the defense. You know, they got some guys on there with Deion Jones. But, you know, we can get the ball moving, help our defense out a little bit, get this win. Next thing you know, we can try to get a win streak going. And a win just puts so much confidence into your team, man. It's unbelievable, especially how we got that win.
Well, and there have been certain incremental improvements every week. We saw the running game last week. Also saw the elimination of most of the negative plays. And here's Cliff Kingsbury talking about that.
I think staying on schedule is what I've harped to y'all for the first month. We were behind and in 10 personnel and throwing it a ton, and that's not who we want to truly be. But out of necessity, we were doing that. And I think if we can stay on schedule, mix our offense up better, then we'll be more effective.
I mean, there's a world of difference, I don't have to tell you, DJ, between 2nd and 7 or 2nd and 14.
Man, that's a big difference. That is a big difference, I'm telling you.
Tom Clements cited a stat today where if you take a penalty and or a sack during a drive, the odds of you getting in the end zone, infinitesimal. Mm-hmm. I mean, very remote. Why is that? Is it just because the NFL's too good?
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of it, honestly. I think, like, you the league is – everybody is good. Mm-hmm. So when you make those mistakes, you give the other team an opportunity to capitalize off your mistakes. And when that happens, that becomes a slippery slope quick. That's how you get a quarter turn to it. You get 21 skunked in a quarter. Defense, you lose your momentum. Your defense get a pick six, and you pick six, and you go out and have a three and out, and defense goes back on. It rolls fast. So I think that's being able to get a head start on stuff like that, being able to jump out is a pair.
It's really incredible the way that defenses are playing you guys as well, right? I mean, to me, it's really, they're making you work everything down the field for the most part, right? They're not coming after you. And whenever you have a rookie quarterback, for the most part, right, what is the number one thing that most defensive coordinators do? Here we go. We're going to find out about this kid.
Right.
We're going to find out if he can actually hold up when we bring a little blitz or a little pressure package, right? That's really not what defensive coordinators have done with Kyler Murray, right?
You know, that surprised me, though, because I remember sitting back after the Week 3 preseason game. You know, that was our worst game as a team. And what happened was Oakland had heated us up.
Yes.
And we didn't respond well at all. And I was like, man, I think teams are going to heat us up.
Yes.
And, I mean, Baltimore, they blitz a lot. But, I mean, that's what they do always. But I was very surprised to see how many teams just kind of sit back and really just keep everything in front of us because of what Oakland had done to us. And it's very surprising, like you said.
So how do you explain that? Defensive coordinators are terrified of his escapability?
I think that's the number one thing. You know, you play cover one, you heat it up, and if Kyler sees a lane, next thing you got to scamper for 20 yards. So I think what they're trying to say is we're just going to make them drive the field. And we got to wrap it up.
No, you're good.
And I think, I mean, me as a D coordinator – you rely on the stats. So, like, the stats say that right now in the red zone, we can't finish on seven. So, they're saying, I think what defensive coordinators are saying is they're just emphasizing bend, don't break. And that's why we really got to find ways to put seven in the, on the red zone.
Just like Kyler Murray when he pulled it down that 24-yard run, right?
Mm-hmm.
He saw.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, there's man.
Yes, it is.
Boom.
Yeah.
Did you think he was gone?
Well, you know, I didn't know what he was going to do because I didn't know if we were in a down situation because I knew it was time left on the clock, and since he had like two timeouts, so I don't know if he was going to score and we had 30 seconds and give him the ball back, or he was just going to take it down, make a waste of timeouts, and kick a field goal.
So that's what the Cardinals did. The game winner on the final play of the game. We continue the Big Red Rage. DJ Humphries, Chase Edmonds, presented by Santan Ford. Murray takes handoff. Johnson up the middle. No, it's a fake. Murray keeps it running left to the five, and Murray dives for the touchdown. What an incredible fake by Kyler Murray. He not only got the Bengals, he got the broadcaster, and it's 6-3 Arizona as they score on 4th-and-2.
Speed kills, baby.
Asked about that play call. Kyler smiled. He liked that one. He liked the call. He liked the finish. He was basically matched up mano a mano in the open field, right, Wolf? There was one defender there.
Yeah.
And he ducked it inside, then went outside, and there you go. Kyler Murray, his second touchdown run in as many games. Welcome back into the Big Red Rage. DJ Humphries, Chase Edmonds, all at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, brought to you by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford. When you have a quarterback, DJ Humphries, when you're the left tackle, when you're an offensive line and your QB can run like that, what does that mean for you guys? How is that different? Is it radically different than blocking for a traditional pocket quarterback?
Oh, it's 100% different. When you're dealing with guys like pocket passers, you know that can't run or don't have that ability, it's a lot simpler. It's a lot, hey, he's going to get here, he's going to throw it. If it's not there, it's going to be. But when you got a guy like Kyler, you know this guy can turn any play into a touchdown play, so there's no clocks. There's no, I'm just going to run him by the quarterback and the ball is going to be gone. There's none of that. I have to run him by, and when he runs by, he gets to the top. I need to make sure I follow him to the line. If he comes back around, I got to make sure I'm there because Kyler could be running around back there. You know, I don't know why he hasn't stopped. I don't know why he hasn't stopped yet. You know, so that's exactly how you got to go about it.
Were you guys surprised that Cliff Kingsbury went for it on the 4th-and-2 right there? Were you surprised by that? Did you like that call? I'm sure you did, right?
I loved it.
Early in the game. I felt like, man, it was a statement from us that, like, we're tired of taking three.
Yeah.
That's honestly for me. I was definitely glad that he made that call because, I mean, if we didn't get it, well, whatever. Like, it was 3 points anyways. I felt like we needed to find and show ways that we could actually score seven in the red zone.
And when you're in that situation, DJ, right, I mean, you just have to tie up your man until you hear the whistle. Is that basically your job?
That's really all I'm thinking about. As soon as I hear what the call is, I know we're finna battle. We're finna battle until I hear this whistle blow because all the simple stuff that you would think, you know what I mean? Like I said, I've had guys that were more standing in the pocket, step up in the pocket guys my whole career. So when you getting back to a runner like that, at any moment, you think it's a bomb going down the field and he's up the sideline for 40. That's why everybody's going crazy.
Do you think Cliff Kingsbury's going to go for it more on fourth down? Do you see that actually being part of your offense starting to evolve at all, Chase?
Don't give him nothing.
Don't give him nothing.
Doug Peterson with the Eagles? He does a lot of that.
There's a lot of guys that are doing it now.
Oh, there is. Yeah.
Analytics
is a big part of the NFL. And I think it just depends on the situation, how well you think our defense is playing, you know, or how well of an offense that we're going against. That has a lot to do with it. You know, if you're going against someone like the Chiefs, and, you know, Patty Mahomes gets his hands on the ball, it's very likely that they're scoring seven. You need to go for it. You know, obviously, you got to keep up. But if your defense is playing well and you're kind of in bad field position, I'm a fan of just playing the field game sometimes.
Did you guys happen to see what the Indianapolis Colts did to the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, they ran the ball like 48 times?
Did you see that?
They ran that rock.
I have never seen anything so nasty.
Yeah, they ran that rock.
In the NFL in the year 2019 of our Lord, when the Indianapolis Colts, the last 19 plays they ran in that game, 17 of them were runs.
Wow.
17. and they ran 9 in a row one time and 6 in a row another time. Two different possessions. That was really interesting. I think we're going to see more and more teams doing that against these high-powered offenses.
Sure, for sure.
You know, real quick, just a Colts sidebar real quick.
Yeah.
Because Quentin Nelson gets a lot of pub and a lot of hype, and deservedly so. But I heard someone in the Cardinals locker room say, J.R. Sweezy is laying out guys to the same rate as a Quentin Nelson and doesn't get nearly the same spotlight. Would you agree with that, DJ?
I mean, I think J.R. Sweezy was J.R. Sweezy before Quentin Nelson. I think that's, you know, I think J.R. Sweezy's a bulldog.
Yes, he is.
You know what I mean? The way that he goes about things, the way that his mindset on when this ball snap, what I'm about to do to you, J.R. has no thought of what you're going to do. It's never what this dude is about to do. J.R. is like, I'm about to grab him right there, and he's not going to move.
I mean,
it works most of the time.
Chase, based on the game face, face alone, I mean, if there's one guy I'm terrified of on the Cardinals sideline, it's J.R. Sweezy.
Oh, Sweezy. I hope he doesn't listen to this show, but Sweezy, he can't look. He has, you know what I'm about to say.
No, keep it clean now.
Sweezy has this towel. He plays with a game towel, okay? And it's regular game towel, whatever. But we'll be in the hotel doing walkthrough. And Sweezy will have his towel tucked into his regular clothes like he's about to go play a football game. Like it's.
But what you don't know, the craziest part about it is, what you don't know, Sweezy will come to the barbecue with the towel.
No, this towel's everywhere. We got off the game bus to go to – we're in the Cincinnati Stadium. That towel is hanging out of his clothes. I'm just like –
No. My guy's a sweater.
Is it the towel he actually wears in the game? Or
no, it's different ones.
It's a different towel.
It's crazy.
But he's always got a towel.
He's got that towel.
He has to have a towel. My guy's a big sweater.
Now, Paul, have you seen that?
Hey.
I'm not sure. No, I'm trying to think
about
it.
Don't ask him about it.
Please look for it.
So what is this significance? What does that signify?
I just feel like that, like, Sweezy is on go at all times. Like, he's ready for anything.
He's got the mentality.
Yeah.
Man. Now, you guys have been involved in a lot of these snaps, but is there a favorite play you have of Kyler so far? Is there one that immediately comes to mind? Cliff Kingsbury has asked about this game in Cincinnati in particular. He said the two balls he threw away because it represented decision-making. But is there a favorite play you have so far, Kyler?
Mine is the ball he threw to Coop. The seam ball between it was like between three defenders, but
Tampa
it was just
two.
If you saw it from the end zone view, I mean, Kyler was backpedaling like an old school quarterback. Like, he wasn't like a 3-step drive; he was kind of backpedaling, and he just flicked his wrist and that arm. He does that little side arm throw I'll be trying to do, and I mean, that thing was beautiful. It was right on. It was a dime.
That's a middle infielder right there.
Oh yeah,
it's him turning a double play with a base runner right in his way, and him trying to
flick, man,
out of there.
Great job by Coop getting under it.
Oh, yeah. Hell of a catch.
We continue. Big Red Rage, DJ Humphries, Chase Edmonds, all presented by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center. A black cat just ran across the field over to the Falcons bench. Matt Ryan had no idea what to do. He looked at the cat as if to say, is this real? It's Halloween week. Somebody obviously brought a black cat into the stadium and just let it loose.
I believe that's called a bad omen. That's awesome.
Did you see Matt Ryan? He stopped. He was warming up and he saw the black cat. He stopped. All right, so that was 2013, Ron Wolfley. Do you remember that?
I do, Paulie. Believe it or not, I do.
Because you were right. That was foreshadowing. It was an omen, and it was not good. Matt Ryan threw 4 picks in that game.
Wow. You know what's so funny about it, though? But he was warming up. Remember, Paulie? He was warming up on the sideline, right? All of a sudden, he saw the cat. It literally walked across his – I said it darkened his doorstep, as a matter of fact, at the time, right? He walked across his path, and he stopped and looked at it. I'll never forget that. And then he did. He went out and threw 4 picks in that game right there. Are you kidding me? The black cat.
It was almost like the black cat targeted him because they both looked at each other for a moment. And, so he's never won in Arizona. Cardinals are going to try and keep that streak going. It's a Big Red Rage, DJ Humphries, Chase Edmonds. And just give us some initial thoughts on that Atlanta defense. Man, they struggled in a lot of ways against Deshaun Watson and company as they gave up a 50-burger in that loss to Houston last week, DJ.
Yeah, I think, like you said, I mean – on paper, they struggle, but that's the group of talented guys, you know what I mean? If you look across the board at all those guys I have, they got a few first-rounders on that. I think, 3? Evan Bailey a first rounder years ago?
Yeah, I believe so.
So, you know what I mean? They got a first rounders all across the board, that defense. So, they're a talented group of guys. So, you just got to, you know, guys like that, you got to make sure you go out and attack them because, you know, they're coming in here ready to kickstart their season with us. So, we got to make sure we
DJ. No, does this defense look like Seattle? Does it look like Seattle?
I was just about to say, that's the Seattle blueprint, man. A lot of one high. But you know what? They are fast. They are fast. They got Vic Beasley out there, ran a 4.4. Deion Jones, the linebacker, he ran a 4.38. I did not know that.
Right.
I didn't know that. 4.38.
He ran a 4.38.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a linebacker. Freak. He's a freak, man. They got they're very fast, man. Speed is something that just jumps out for me. But, again, we just got to go out there. I mean, you got to look at a defense, and they're all nameless names. And you go out there, just worry about what you got to do and just execute your job, and hopefully we'll make it happen.
Obviously, All Hallows Eve is coming up, right? Yeah. I mean, here it is. It's October, right? Do you guys get fired up for that at all? I mean, do you guys have any of the, you know, any Halloween stories, or do you have any traditions you guys actually carry out with your family?
I hate Halloween.
You hate Halloween?
You hate it?
Yeah, I hate Halloween.
My daughter loves Halloween, so, I mean, she's going to come out here and want to dress like princesses and everything. I'm going to do that to make her smile, but that's about it. That one thing I like about playing in October is breast cancer month awareness.
You love that.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I think that's a great cause, man.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. How about this? Speaking of Halloween, of course, and black cats and things of that nature, aren't you – are you living with your mom? Chase, are you still living with your mom?
Yeah. I'll move it out.
Okay, wait a minute. No, this is beautiful. Talk to us.
Not beautiful.
Talk to us about this, Chase.
Kirk and Trent get on me about it the most, but I did it because, you know, my parents had split up coming out of college, and my sister was living out in Arizona, like, for 5 years prior. She had graduated from ASU, got her master's. So,
he helped her out with that, too, right?
So,
I remember that. Yeah, that was so cool.
And, Chase, real quick, you paid off her student loans,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and that would hurt, too. But, it's something I did. You know,
awesome,
I did to make
Chase
her happy. And so my mom was moving out here to get closer to Morgan, and she was planning on doing that, like, in March. And the draft was in April, so I just so happened to get drafted to Arizona, man. So, like, this is literally like a new home for me. So I got my sister out here. I live with my mom. You know, she got a nice big house, whatever. It's in her name. It ain't in mine.
Rent-free.
So, but, I'm moving out after this football season. I just did it because.
Why would you move out? I mean, you know, it's you got mom.
I know.
She's cooking.
I know. Like, I don't do no laundry. I don't got the, I get free meals.
Yeah.
But. I got to get out of there. You know, it's time I grow up a little bit.
That's a great story, dude.
Knowing Larry Fitzgerald and the way he is in the locker room, you've heard that from Fitz, haven't you?
Oh, Fitz, Chase. Come on, man. Come on. You got to grow up. He's always getting on me about that.
He's always just like him.
All right, well, here's the real Larry Fitzgerald. He was asked about Julio Jones today, and here's Fitz's scouting report.
Physically, there's nobody like Julio in the game. I mean, he can run every route. You know, the guy's capable of putting 200 on you in any single day. And he can beat you over the top. He can beat you underneath. I mean, really, he really has no weaknesses whatsoever in this game. He's like a mutant. He's a superhero.
You know, I was talking with some of the rookie DBs today, and they find it pretty amazing that a guy that big –
yeah.
Can run like that.
Oh, yeah.
They said his ability to get out of his breaks and the routes and his ability to drop his hips and how smooth he is to be that size and run like that. Is that, Chase, what separates Julio Jones?
Yeah, man, Julio's a freak. I just remember watching practice. And, I mean, I'm just looking at the scout team guy, and I saw number 11. I said, oh, my gosh, they got Julio Jones. I forgot. he's a freak. And, I mean, you talk about talent-wise, he's probably one receiver ever more talented than Julio, Randy Moss, in my opinion, just talent-wise. I mean, he's a great guy. We just got to come in, man, and hone in on him. I feel like anytime you play a generational player like that, you need to take the Belichick approach and just find any way to shut down that player. And then if that team can find other players to step up and beat you, then so be it. But you can never let a dominant player do what they do and come in to control and dictate the game. And I feel like that's just what we got to do defensively to stop them.
That is the one thing about the Atlanta Falcons. You look at their receivers, right? This gaggle of receivers.
Oh, my goodness.
Julio Jones, of course. Mohamed Sanu.
Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley. Are you kidding me? Then they have a tight end, Austin Hooper, who actually leads their team in receptions with 34.
Really?
71.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I didn't know that.
He's got the most receptions on the team. Their tight end. He actually had 71 receptions last year.
Wow.
This guy is a legitimate target. For Matt Ryan, right? I mean, I think they're going to come in here and they're going to sling it. That's what I think they're going to do right now. They're going to come in here, especially if we've got three rookies starting in that secondary. They're going to throw that pig.
I mean, Pat has been going against Julio since they were in college. They had
That's right.
Ever since college. So not having Patrick Peterson in this game, real curious to see what Vance Joseph is going to do in terms of his scheme on that side of the ball. Let me ask you this. In terms of Dan Quinn's scheme, DJ, the fact you guys just rushed for 266 yards, how do you think that might impact what Atlanta's D is going to do now?
I think you have to. For them, they have to plan for the run, you know, and that's like Wolf talked about earlier. I think that's something that when you have that balanced offense, it's something that you have to plan for. Right. It's something that they have to take into account. They can't just come in and say, hey, we're going to rush the passer and we're going to make this dude beat us with it. You know, they can't play you like that. You have to truly come out and play a true defense. And I think with the weapons that we have, we just have to go out and execute because we have the tools to do it for sure.
So the rumor is you guys are going to be wearing black jerseys.
I like those.
Man, I like that, right? Why do you like the black jersey?
Just to switch it up. I'm a big fan of switching up jerseys, using a lot of combos, and I like that. My favorite to me is all white. I think all white looks the best. But, I mean, when we get to switch it up and wear the black jerseys, I mean, the all black is crazy too, though. I love the all black, but I like that, man. Just to be able to switch it up, look different a couple games. I wouldn't mind all red either.
Yeah.
I like the all red. But, yeah, it's cool. I'm excited for the black jersey coming out this week.
I used to love the white as well because it showed the blood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your hands get all bloody, and all of a sudden you just start wiping it all over your pants.
See the O-line?
Your nose is bleeding.
You like black?
The O-line like that black is slipping, baby. We wear that black.
Oh, yeah.
It looks good.
When you were in Florida, did you guys have a bunch of alternative uniforms?
Nah.
Like, I saw Ohio State the other night. I didn't even recognize Ohio State.
Oh,
like,
but those are hot. I love being like those.
We didn't have all that stuff.
But if you can't even recognize 100 years worth of brand equity in that team, you don't even know who's playing. I mean, are they going too far, Chase?
I'm a big fan. I think, Oregon started it. Oregon started the trend. But, I mean, those black and red jerseys Ohio State had, oof. I thought it was clean.
What were your colors at Fordham?
Maroon and white.
Did you get any alternate uniforms?
Nah.
No.
White.
That wasn't in our budget.
No?
See, we got white and we
you
got
know
maroon.
What? John Skelton didn't donate enough money to make that happen.
Scout.
That's what happened.
Scout.
What's your park colors?
We wrap up the Big Red Rage next. Second and five now at the Atlanta 42. They're going to keep it on the ground with James. It's a flea flicker. Warner going to throw deep. Near side going for Fitz. He's in double coverage. It doesn't matter. He caught it anyway. Touchdown Cardinals. You can't stop that guy.
I'm the flea flicker. Wow. What a play and what a call. You've been able to run the ball. So you hand it off to Ezrin James. He flips it back. Larry Fitzgerald stabs the ball out of the air.
And, well, Larry in the 2008 postseason still has to be one of the most impressive athletic performances we've ever seen.
On fire.
It was
on fire.
Absolutely epic. Larry in his prime, that entire postseason, all the way through the Super Bowl, in what could have been a game-winning touchdown in Super Bowl 43. I mean, he was unstoppable.
Put the legend into Larry, so to speak, that postseason.
And we're wrapping up this edition of the Big Red Rage. DJ Humphries, Chase Edmonds. You know what was amazing about that game, too? That was Matt Ryan's rookie year, and it was a wild card game, and the Cardinals won. And Bertrand Berry was among the guys on the defensive front, former host of the Big Red Rage, who revealed later they picked up on a tell by Matt Ryan that there was a little foot lift when he was just about to snap the ball. And then the Cardinals would jump the snap count. And if you remember, the second half started with Darnell Dockett busting through the B gap, blowing up the running back. The ball flies up in the air. Antoine Roll snags it on the fly, and he's gone. Fumble return for a touchdown. That all emanated from what they discerned at the end of the second quarter, that Matt Ryan, the rookie, was giving away the snap count. And they knew exactly when that ball was going to be snapped, and boom, there you go. The rest is history.
Well, that's good stuff right there from the sideline.
Well,
that is excellent.
That was B-Train, and so – When you look at this game, DJ, and look, I don't know what it's been like with Cougs. This was Cougs, you know. Did you give you guys some props this week in the O-line? I hope so.
Cougs is not afraid of giving us praise because he knows he's hard on us, you know, and rightfully so. That's just how we work. As an offensive line group, you got to have a thick skin and you got to be ready to work. And when you're dealing with a coach like Cougs, he really cares about our group. And we put the work in with them. So when he sees it, he see everybody really trying to hone in on the stuff that he's teaching us and the techniques and get everybody in the room is buying in, you know, that he knows that he's doing the job. And then it goes out and it reflects. He always shows us our love when it's due.
Man, I absolutely love listening to Cougs, Coach. I really do. Man. It's like a warm blanket on a cold winter's day, just listening to him.
Do it right.
Do you respond well to hard coaching, Chase?
Yeah, I like hard coaching.
You like it too?
I'm hard on myself. So it gets me going. And honestly, I feel like sometimes I play better when I'm more mad. Just because, like, I'm already fueled up. I'm already pissed. I'm like, man, ain't nobody stopping me. Let's get this roll. Let's get the show on the road.
What if you get 25 carries on Sunday because David Johnson's back won't allow him to go? Are you ready?
You know, I always try to say that you should always prepare like you're the man. So whether Dave goes or not, you know, I'm going to be ready regardless if I have 5 touches or 25 touches.
It's because you're a football player.
Football player.
You're a football player, baby. Through and through.
Yep. There you go. Full circle. Well done. Special thanks, as always, Jim Almahunter, Walt Ellis, Cody Fincher. It's been the Big Red Rage, DJ Humphries, and Chase Edmonds, everyone, here at Marley's Chandler Fashion Center, all brought to you by Santan Ford and Gilbert. We are Santan Ford.
You've been listening to the Big Red Rage with DJ Humphries. Presented by Santan Ford in Gilbert. Are you Santan Ford? State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Arizona Cardinals Podcasts. Visit azcardinals.com/podcasts.
Woo! What's up, what?
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.